and became the paths of the dead. Thus began the age of despair. The roads were tangled, the winds and the sandstorms dwelt in the husks of cities, the plains and mountains became our home, as the old gods lost their power, we called to the blank sky, into the cold, dividing gray, to the ears of new gods. The sky is calm, silent, unmoving. We have yet to hear their answer. The Old Man. Tico Whalen straightened her back with a sigh, flexing her shoulders to ease her cramped muscles. She tossed the soapy bar rag into the water pail and glanced around the empty room. It was getting harder to keep up the old inn. There was a lot of love rubbed into the warm finish of the wood, but even love and tallow couldn't hide the cracks and splits in the well-used tables or prevent a customer from sitting on an occasional splinter. The inn of the last home was not fancy, not like some she'd heard about in Haven. It was comfortable. The living tree in which it was built wrapped its ancient arms around it lovingly, while the walls and fixtures were crafted around the boughs of the tree with such care as to make it impossible to tell where nature's work left off and man's began. The bar seemed to ebb and flow like a polished wave around the living wood that supported it. The stained glass in the window panes cast welcoming flashes of vibrant color across the room. Shadows were dwindling as noon approached. The inn of the last home would soon be open for business. Tico looked around and smiled in satisfaction. The tables were clean and polished. All she had left to do was sweep the floor. She began to shove aside the heavy wood benches as Otik emerged from the kitchen, enveloped in fragrant steam.
"Should be another brisk day, for both the weather and business," he said, squeezing his stout body behind the bar.
He began to set out mugs, whistling cheerfully.
"I'd like the business cooler and the weather warmer," said Tika, tugging at a bench. "I walked my feet off yesterday and got little thanks and less tips. Such a gloomy crowd. Everybody nervous, jumping at every sound. I dropped a mug last night and, I swear, Retark drew his sword."
"Pah!" Otik snorted. "Retark's a solace seeker guard. They're always nervous. You would be too if you had to work for Hedrick, that faint—"
"Watch it," Tika warned. Otik shrugged.
"Unless the High Theocrat can fly now, he won't be listening to us. I'd hear his boots on the stairs before he could hear me."
But Tika noticed he lowered his voice as he continued.
"The residents of Solace won't put up with much more, mark my words. People disappearing, being dragged off to who knows where. It's a sad time."
He shook his head. Then he brightened.
"But it's good for business."
"Until he closes us down," Tika said gloomily.
She grabbed the broom and began sweeping briskly.
"Even theocrats need to fill their bellies and wash the fire and brimstone from their throats,"
Otik chuckled.
"It must be thirsty work, haranguing people about the new gods day in and day out. He's in here every night."
Tika stopped her sweeping and leaned against the bar.
"Otik," she said seriously, her voice subdued. "There's other talk, too. Talk of war. Armies massing in the north. And there are these strange, hooded men in town, hanging around with the High Theocrat, asking questions."
Otik looked at the 19-year-old girl fondly, reached out and patted her cheek. He'd been father to her ever since her own had vanished so mysteriously. He tweaked her red curls.
"War. Pooh,"
he sniffed.
"There's been talk of war ever since the Cataclysm. It's just talk, girl. Maybe the Theocrat makes it up just to keep people in line."